As we continue in focus, live from the Motor City Casino soundboard, the Detroit Economic Club. So happy to be here and to welcome Paul Eisenstein, editor of Headlight.News, who can talk about a couple of issues. But I'm sure, Paul, you first want to rub in my face that Ford EV sales rose 129% year over year. Go, let's get that out of the way. Go ahead, rub it in my face.
Yeah, EV sales are doing better than a lot of people are saying. It's just not doing, you know, the sort of massive growth that some people had expected. But they're still growing. They're still growing. And what's interesting is it's not just EVs. It's hybrids and plug-in hybrids as well. So when you look at electrified vehicles, vehicles using batteries in some form or another, and I'm not talking old 12-volt lead acid, this is a really big bit of news. In fact, Ford had its biggest hybrid sales ever. And what's interesting is that that came from their Maverick pickup.
Yeah, and I'm honor bound to say this because I just saw the news story that the Maverick is being recalled for something. Do you know what it's for?
Oh, gosh. I hate to say it. I'm losing track on that. There are too many Ford recalls.
I don't like to hear
that. Yeah. Well, we've had that problem. Ford's had that problem for a while, in fact. And we're going to get into another story, so I'll try to stay away from there. But that's one of the biggest issues that Ford has, quite frankly, is dealing with its quality problems. They're going to have to start getting that under control. And I know it has been a big issue overall. Oh, by the way, the recall is for taillights.
Oh, I think I saw that the taillights weren't working properly, but that did not affect the brake lights.
Yeah,
taillights. I thought I saw.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest with you, one of my team wrote the story this morning, and I didn't have the chance to read through it. We've had so much breaking news the last couple of days, trying to stay on top of everything. It's been a challenge.
Well, that's why we call upon you, because we do. I'm serious. And Ford Motor Company's U.S. sales declined 2.4% in April, though hybrid deliveries hit a new all-time monthly sales peak. That was just announced today. So what we're also hearing and wanted to talk with you about is a strike vote. Has it been called, or is it something they're looking to have, see if it's called on Monday at Stellantis in Warren?
Monday. Yeah, it'll be Monday over in Warren. It's a stamping plant, and they are alleging a variety of safety-related issues. And I have to be honest with you, based on what I'm reading, I haven't been in the plant, but based on what I'm reading and what I'm hearing from people working over there, it doesn't look good. They have leaky roof issues. They're having problems getting safety gear like gloves. And I don't know if you've ever been in a stamping plant, Paul, never mind how loud it is, but it can be a very dangerous place. You've got 100, 200 ton stamping machines that can do a serious bit of damage to the human body if you're not careful. So if what I'm hearing the UAW allege is true, number one, I would expect that the strike vote would authorize a walkout if the company doesn't resolve matters. The union says it's tried to do everything in bargaining and a moderation and the like, but it hasn't gotten the results it wants.
So the plant makes hoods, roofs, lift gates, fenders, and more, and it supplies several Stellantis vehicle assembly facilities in North America. The company, through their spokesperson, Jody Tinson, says, quote, Stellantis is committed to providing a safe and healthy work environment for all employees. The company is in discussions with UAW Local 869 to assess open health and safety grievances at the Warren stamping plant and aims to resolve this matter without a work stoppage. Well, I don't remember the last time that we had a potential work stoppage based on safety issues in a plant. You would hope that this is something they could get settled and solved immediately.
Yeah, you would hope that this is going to get resolved, because the impact could be severe. If you recall, during the unprecedented strike strategy that the UAW used last year, last autumn, in a number of cases, it didn't shut down assembly plants, at least not directly. What it did was it shut down parts plants or parts depots. And as you noted, this particular plant in Warren, Michigan, supplies hoods and other stamped metal parts to a variety of different assembly plants. So it could just, I think there's like 1,100 workers or so at the plant. It could shut down a lot of Stellantis operations in very short order. And by the way, the company needs to be a little bit worried about that, because if you looked at the earnings numbers they just reported, they weren't pretty. They were not
pretty
at
all.
They
saw a 12% decrease in its net revenues for the first quarter of 24 compared to a year ago, as they prepare for the launch of more than two dozen new vehicles yet this year. The company reported Tuesday revenues of $61.4 billion on shipments of 1.3 million vehicles. That is a decline of 10% in shipments. While quarter one 2024 year-over-year shipments and net revenues comparisons were difficult due to transitions in the next generation product portfolio manufactured on new platforms, they are delivering clear improvements in key commercial dynamics, with customer sales outpacing shipments. That, according to Stellantis Chief Financial Officer Natalie Knight. You know something I want to mention, unless you want to say something about that? I need to mention something that I keep forgetting to bring up, and that is, I don't remember ever this far into a new year seeing television commercials for cars that are still 2023 vehicles.
Mm-hmm. This is a peculiar thing. I just saw an ad for the 2023 Nissan Ariya, which is their second EV after rolling out the Leaf as the world's first high-volume electric vehicle. And that shocked me, and there's quite a few others. If you recall, Paul, of course you'll recall, we saw the industry struggling to build enough vehicles for several years following the hitting of the COVID pandemic.
Right.
Now all of a sudden the industry is dealing with an oversupply in some cases, and they're really struggling to try to balance inventories. It's actually a very, very good time right now for motorists to be out there. Yeah, there's a few vehicles you're going to still wind up struggling to find what you want. Try to find the Corvette E-Ray, for example. But on the whole, this is the best situation we have seen for motorists looking for a new vehicle in, what, 4.5 years. And it may actually get even better, because the industry is starting to increase incentives, prices are flattening out, and they're just looking to make deals.
I got to tell you something else I just saw. This one blew my mind. I was in a dealership for another reason, and I saw six luxury SUVs, smaller SUVs, 2022, never titled, brand new, that were for sale. Is there a downside to buying a 2022, or for that matter, a 2023 vehicle that hasn't been titled yet? I mean, the 2022s, I wonder where they've been for 2 years, or, you know, where were they stored, or did anyone move them around? Have they changed the oil and all the other stuff you wonder about?
I'm going to have to talk to you off the air if you don't want to say what those products were, because I'm real curious about the 2022s. Recall that in 2022, inventories were horribly short, and so that's really odd.
It's like somebody found these in storage and said, what the? We got some 2020. We have six 2022s here. Get them out of here.
I can't figure that. Now, the one thing, I think we're running out of time. The one thing you have to remember is that when you buy a model, say, from a 2023, for the books, it's an older vehicle, and that will impact trade-in values. If nothing else, you better make sure that you get a really good deal, because you're going to get hit on residuals, what that car will be worth when you do trade it in.
Well, the way I would look at it is, you buy it without thinking that you want to turn around and sell it in a few years. If you want to buy it and keep it, and you can get a really incredible deal as long as there's nothing wrong with the vehicle, seems like it'd be a great concept. I'll call you after the show.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Eisenstein, editor of Headlight.News, right here on WJR.